If you want to ride high, they'll show you the road. Two swell guys to help shoulder the load. On the way, highway. Helping you ride on the way, highway.
It's time for the Way Highway on Adobe Radio. Brought to you by Nice Guy Digital and Dr. God Productions, with your hosts, Justin Ware and Sean Cowig.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome.
Welcome.
To the Way Highway, Elena Green Radio Show, exploring the wild and wonderful world of weed.
Yes.
Hosted by two THC aficionados.
Yeah.
Me, Justin Ware.
And me, Sean Cowig. I didn't know if you were going to continue. I was like, maybe just stop.
You know, I feel like it's like doing a bunch of different takes. Like, sometimes you just got to mix up the intonation and the pacing.
Sure, absolutely.
Sometimes you need to have a
pause. Wow.
Yeah,
you were doing it right then. I took an on-camera class recently, and the teacher of the on-camera class was big into the idea of, you gotta get what you need, right? You have to, hold on, let me switch this. We'll talk about that in a second. gotta go after what you need. So if a director is ever like, go faster, he's like, don't actually go faster, just strengthen the need. So maybe.
So this is an acting class, you're like, the most important thing in on-camera acting, don't do what the director asks you to do.
Ignore the director. They don't know what they're talking about. And what do you do? I'm a director. Wait a minute.
If you're going to take anything away from this episode, I think that's universal, really. Directors, bosses.
Yeah, don't listen to direction. Want to know more about us and the show?
Sure.
Well, you can cyberstalk us right now on the information super Way Highway at The Way Highway on Twitter, at Way Highway on Instagram.
Or you can write us at wayhighway@adobe.com. Visit the website or the Patreon and see exclusive footage of things.
Please visit the Patreon. I feel like this Patreon episode is going to be very special for Patreon subscribers
we're flying solo, which makes no sense because there's two of us.
There are two of us, but we could fly solo together.
we are flying solo together. Yes, we have no Bernie, we have no Bronson.
No, and so we're running everything right now. So right. Patreon subscribers will watch the video of this episode and see me insanely like looking down to my right and then like trying to look back up to camera to make this all work.
Which is another thing they tell you on the on-camera acting classes. Make sure you look at the camera.
Look down and then look directly into the barrel of the camera and deliver your lines.
To find out where the camera is.
Because look into their audience's soul.
These are great tips, you guys.
All great tips. I think the thing that is hilarious about what's going on right now is I'm trying to run video for this and we don't have a two shot.
Yeah. Well, it's just going to be a lot of us until it becomes a lot of Fran.
A lot of Fran. I'm going to just leave it on a locked off shot of Fran forever.
You might want to.
The money.
You might want to. We know what our
we know what's what going on here. We know what they want.
Speaking of, we should say I'm very excited about our guest, returning guest, going to be joining us.
Guest
two, Fran Kranz, actor. Hero, I've saved a dog from a fire. I don't know. He's going to be like, I guess I have to make up a story about that now. But we're very excited to have him back and find out what's been going on with him since the last time he visited the Way Highway, which was about a year ago.
Yep. Yeah, really?
I think so. We've been doing this for like a year. It's pretty shocking.
Goodness. Time flies, right?
Time flies. Especially when you are playing roulette with your pens, which is going to be my lead in to very special product review that we are doing today.
Yes. Okay. So guys, let me preface this by saying, finish your vapes. Go buy cartridges.
Or you don't get dessert.
Please, finish your vapes or you will not get... Like, this is crazy. What is this? I have all these, so...
You need a marble bag.
I do. And yeah. Like this is, it's like I'm collecting them. Like it's my hobby.
So for those that are listening,
yeah,
Sean has a very, I don't know, what is it, about 10 there?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah. About 10.
Yeah, that's about 10.
It's about 10.
Of cartridges that are, not, I mean, what are those, half-used?
These are half-used.
Barely used.
This is most of the way used. Okay, so like a story behind them. So this one.
How many of those can you identify?
Okay, so this one is mostly CBD. I cannot tell you the brand, but I know that I bought it in Irvine when we were down doing the OC Comedy Festival for okay, a Dr. God
good,
show.
Good.
I bought it because I don't drink anymore and I wanted to feel socially, I don't know what you know, I wanted to fit in.
I wanted to feel alive.
So I needed some drugs, but I wanted mostly CBD. And I went and I ended up spending way more money than I wanted to because like I was coerced into buying a gram instead of a half gram. Because look at the size of this.
This thing's huge.
And also I had to buy the battery that went along with it. And the only battery that they had that would work with this kind of cartridge apparently was what the, I don't know if you've ever seen it where like it folds over and then you hit the button and it flips out like an old, that flip out.
Like a flip phone? Like, what is this?
Like, do you remember the old, it like was supposed to look like a pocket knife, but it was a comb.
A comb.
Yeah. So yeah. It flips out like that.
That's kind of cool though.
Yeah.
Is it gone?
The battery?
The flip.
No, pen? I think it's somewhere in my storage unit when I had to hastily move.
Yeah. All right, so we got that one, and then that's the rest is just
This, I don't know. I don't know what brand it is. I don't remember where I got it, but this one's also a great brand. That's
right, now it's on the floor.
This is an 8-to-1 that I bought. Ooh. When I was like, so this is a lot of CBD. This does not get you very high at all, but it was a time when I was like, what if I don't want to get so high? This is a Rove 1-to-1 that I thought I had lost forever, but then I found mixed in with my little thing of like pens and highlighters.
Okay, so I
want to
know if there are any of those over there that you just don't know what it is at all.
This one, the one that I dropped.
I feel like that's the one that you need to try then.
Okay. I'll do it. This is the best product review we've ever done.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely the least predictable. I mean, not really. It's still going to be. Are you here? Hold on. This is what do you think? Are you figuring it out? Well, you're really pondering on this here. Sean is now looking at these things. Like he's in a beautiful mind, and he's got a wall full of things to consider.
I think it's select brand Jack Harer.
How do you know?
I don't.
I'm just going to assume that you. I don't know. Okay, fine.
Sure.
Yeah. Yay! Good job, Sean.
I did it.
What is it? Is that a hybrid? Is that a THC?
I think Jack Harer. Let's see. Jack.
While we're doing that, I'm going to get the PSA ready because I feel like, you know, the PSA that we've done so far today has been make sure to use up your cartridges, which is not a very you know,
Jack Harer
healthy PSA, but
Jack Harer, sometimes called the Emperor of Hemp, was an American cannabis rights activist and the author of The Emperor Wears No Clothes, a book in 2016. Other name is the Hemperer.
I was going to say that's bullshit if they don't call him the Hemperer.
They call him the Hemperer.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I love a good, you know me, I love a good portmanteau. So we're going to do a little PSA because while we find out what effect this thing has on Sean, You know, so we've been doing putting up the visuals of these PSAs, and yes. we realized that a lot of the ones that we've played once or twice, Sean's never seen.
No,
because I pretty much ripped them off YouTube. So we're gonna actually watch the one. I think that was the very first PSA that we played.
Oh my goodness!
To warn you about the dangers of taking the Way Highway.
Superman, man, am I glad to see you.
What are you doing on this deserted road?
Some guys from school drove out here and we're going to start fooling around with drugs. When I told them all drugs do is mess up your head and get you in a lot of trouble, they kicked me out of the van and drove off.
You're right not to get involved in the drug scene. Nobody with any sense wants any part of it.
How do I get home?
That's no problem at all.
Super Friends will return.
That was old school Super Friends. That was
yes.
Like the Gleek and everybody was in that one.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I still think that kid is like
40. 40. Whoa, hey, okay, great, all right, hey, okay. YouTube, fucking YouTube.
Perfect. You know what? I don't think we need other producers on the show to help us do this.
Yeah, it definitely moves a little more slowly when we're doing this, but it's still pretty enjoyable.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, did you actually figure out what that was?
No, but I think it is Select Brand. I do feel it up in my head more so than in my body, so I do believe it is a sativa. And if I'm not wrong, I'll look on the break just to make sure. I'm pretty sure Jack Herer is a sativa. It might be Select Brand Jack Herer. I could have absolutely called that.
I saw yesterday somebody in a truck. There's more to the story. Hold on. And they were unloading boxes of hemp water.
Uh-huh.
And I was trying to figure out what makes it, like, I don't understand that really. Like, coconut water's from coconuts, right? And stuff. But, like, can you get water from hemp?
No, I mean, in my head, I would just assume that they're adding hemp to water.
Why? I guess we need to look this up at the break.
Sure.
Well, if there's someone listening that is a hemp that knows what hemp water, but it's like, well, then shouldn't it be like hemp milk?
I mean, yeah, but that would be different. I think you could coconut milk is also a thing.
Coconut milk is also a thing, but it's made from coconuts. Coconut water is just the water that was inside the coconut.
Right, but also isn't regular water added to coconut water? I don't think coconut water is all just coconut water.
Oh, I think it is.
It's just coconut water. There's no actual
the good stuff. Yeah, you just tap a coconut.
You just tap a coconut.
Yeah.
Get the water out.
Didn't you watch Gilligan's Island?
I guess not closely enough.
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember if they actually tap a lot of coconuts in that, but I bet they do.
Right. Or, like, is hemp water just a clever name for the thing?
I bet.
Or is
bet
it THC-infused cannabis water, but called hemp water?
I feel like if you're calling it hemp water, you want it to be... like almond milk or something that sounds like, oh, yeah, you know, I do a hemp water smoothie every morning with chia.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're doing THC water, then you're calling that like, I was going to say bong water, but you definitely.
Bong water, that would be good.
We should
strawberry make a, bong water.
We should make a bong water. Is it an energy drink or is it just a THC drink?
Well, I think if it's a sativa, it's an energy drink. And if it's an indica.
There's got to be a company called Bong Water.
There's something called Bong Water.
Right, there's the band, right?
There's a band called Bong Water.
Isn't there a band called Bong Water? God, we have so many things to look up and no Bronson to write them down for us. But I'm pretty sure there is a band called Bong Water. But if not, there should be an energy drink called Bong Water.
Bong Water.
Or just a THC drink. You'd be like, hey, you want to
drink a Bong Water? Do you want to drink some bong water with me? Hey, let's split a bong water.
I guess. Mm. Yeah. No, it's no grosser than Four Loko or one of those things.
Right? Yeah, no, you're right.
We're going to take a little break
here. Yeah, let's do it.
We're going to take a little break because we want to spend extra time with our guest.
Yes.
Because we we enjoy him so.
Yes.
So we're going to, going into this break, play a little of a little Buggles, little video killed the radio star, yes. Which for those who are not aware, it was the first video ever played on MTV.
Is that true?
It was Video Killed the Radio Star by the Buggles.
Oh, so, my goodness.
So we're going to play that, and we'll nice. Be right back with the one, the only Fran Kranz. Yes.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Way Highway.
Welcome back to the Way Highway.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you, Justin.
we enjoyed our roulette, I guess, vape roulette.
Yeah,
would that be what you would call it.
Yeah. And I'm still convinced that this is Select Brands Jack Harer. Jack Harer is a sativa, 100%. I was right about that. And I am uplifted and happy. It is certainly a head high and not a body high. So if all else fails, at least I know this is definitely a sativa.
There you go. Well played.
Thank you.
We are very excited to have a fantastic guest.
Yes.
Joining us again on the Way Highway for the second time, Mr. Fran Kranz.
Hello.
Oh, I was holding my breath.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to stretch it out quite that long.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I was here or not, so I just I closed my eyes, held my breath, and
you woke up, and here you are.
Yeah. Hold on, though. This happened over the break, a CNN alert. I just got on my phone. This is pretty serious.
Oh, no. Remember, this is going to be 2 weeks later when people are hearing this.
There are now officially more coconut water bottles than there are coconuts.
Oh, that's so depressing.
I know.
No,
we
man.
Hit critical mass. Is that critical mass or is that the singularity? Mm. So, yeah.
That's like the depressing singularity.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's...
I wasn't sure if that'd be good news. Sorry, I didn't know
maybe
how
it is.
That would be received.
Would that be good news?
My investment in plastics is going on, is really paying off.
Oh, man.
I do have to admit...
That was a lie. That was a lie. Just in case. Depending on how you feel about it, now you can feel better.
Great. Yeah.
I just want to keep total ambiguity.
Man, it is a roller coaster ride. I do have to say, I do enjoy coconut water. I'm not going to lie. More so than bong water, which we did confirm... over the break
is a band. And is a one word band.
A one word band as opposed to a one man band.
Right. But is it a one word noun? No, two words.
That it has to be
hyphenate.
Two words, right?
Yeah,
bong water.
It's one word. The band is one word.
The
number two most popular bong water song is called "The Power of Pussy."
Come on.
Yeah. Hey, it's powerful.
I guess
it is powerful.
That's true. Whoa, that's it?
Yeah, it sounds a little
Because I was gonna say I read they were a psychedelic band.
Oh man,
so "The Power of Pussy" feels a little off.
Right. Yeah.
But
this sounds a little psychedelic.
And you're right, they're not.
What?
Whoa! Cool, man.
No, come on.
Yeah,
guys.
They just started singing "Pussy" over and over again.
I'm sorry, I picked the Buggles. I mean, that was a waste.
Did you know that was the first video played on MTV? Was that a fact?
No, I'm sorry about that. I did know that. Yeah, it's a historic video. Yeah. But I'm sorry. You know, my daughter has been listening to it nonstop, and you asked me about music, and it's literally the first thing that came to my mind. Yeah,
it's weird to think that like. Things that I don't know. I mean, I was having a conversation with that, like with my niece and nephews and stuff. Like, they will wear T-shirts from like 80s bands and stuff, or they'll wear things. I'm like, how do you even know what that band is? Like, why do you it's so strange because I feel like for them, you know, for them, like having a like a Yaz t-shirt or something, or like Depeche Mode or something, you're like, you know, because my, you know, there's a little attitude going on in there, you know, sort of preteen attitude, but I guess there weren't really t-shirts for it, but like in the duration of time for them, that would have been like us listening to music from like the 50s. Do you know what I mean? Because the 80s is like,
yeah,
the 80s is like 30 years ago.
We're approaching 40 years now.
Yeah.
So
30, you know, like if you're in your 30s or 40s, like people don't listen to, like you didn't listen to music from like the 1940s.
The Pretenders or... The Platters.
Yeah.
I was like, 500 miles? Yeah, man. Benny and June. Come on.
The Pretenders is Chrissy Hynde.
The Drifters.
Yeah.
I don't know if there are Drifters t-shirts.
Oh, man.
I don't know. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Do you think... I'm surprised that, like, that era hasn't come back musically, and even in sort of an ironic way. Maybe it has. And I just don't go to those clubs.
I feel like bars. I sort of remember there was like a club in New York at this place, Acme, and underground it was like 50s music all the time in their little sort of speakeasy bar.
Yeah.
But I feel like that, but I don't know if that was a thing. I don't know if it caught on or was a thing.
I don't know.
I kind of remember walking in and sort of enjoying that, you know.
But I feel like there's a lot of 80s and, Davey Wayne's and things like that. Yeah. But
I feel like the Dresden Room would play 50s music.
Yeah, maybe. And I guess technically Elvis started in the 50s, didn't he?
Yeah.
So, I mean, Elvis is 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
But there's a place in L.A., for those who don't live here, called... my brain just melted. The one that's downtown.
Ooh, Edison.
No.
You're talking about downtown.
Which one? It used to have the food court in the bottom, but it's the famous one. I can't believe my brain just lost.
Oh,
this.
It's like a big. It's three stories.
It's got the tiki bar on the top.
Yes. What the hell? Cafeteria something, right? It's like got that in the name, I want to say, right?
Do you not know what I'm talking about, Sean?
It's on Broadway.
Anyway,
look it up. Where's the producer?
Oh my God! Damn it, Bronson!
I'll look it up.
Damn it, Bronson!
I honestly feel like it's got like the like a name like cafe like that's yeah, in the name
like
I don't
caf
know.
Yeah
caf, yeah but
Funateria. No,
but it's really it's
it doesn't have a cafeteria anymore, but it does have a cool, really cool tiki bar on the top. But anyway, I was going to say that they have a room that is decorated in like gilded age 1920s kind of vibe, and the music that they have in there on Friday nights, they have like a swing band just like it's really cool because everyone dresses up and you go in there and there's all these, it's like kind of simultaneously kind of sad but also kind of touching, there's all these like old guys just like sitting in the corner just like dressed up to the nines, just listening to like the just like the 1940s like it's like a scene from Captain America in there, you know, like, but it's cool, it's like a flashback.
If only we knew what it was called.
Is it Clifton's Cafeteria?
Clifton's.
Is there a cafeteria in the name?
It used to be Clifton's Cafeteria. Now Clifton's Republic.
Yes. They have a cool swing ballroom dancing kind of swing.
Right on.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. But it's weird. So your daughter's listening to music from the 80s, but like to her, it's funny because also maybe one of the reasons about that is music from the 80s and like a lot of music right now doesn't sound that different.
No, sure.
It doesn't sound as different as music from the 80s sounded from music from the 50s.
Yeah, you know, and that's funny. It just reminded me, my parents went to some psychedelic party, the theme was 60s psychedelic, something like that.
Right.
And then they came home, they were telling me they were complaining because the music was from the 70s. And see, to me, I'd be like, I want to know the difference. So it's fine. I don't know. So when you say something like that, perhaps there is someone that would have this, you know, real strong opinion against that, you know, the decades and the genres, that they're all pretty distinct. But I don't know. I think – I agree. I feel like there's a poppy 80s vibe to current popular music.
Like if you listen to like Bruno Mars right now, you'd be like, okay, that could have been like a – you know, like a Morris Day and the Time song or something. For that was the band that's in Purple Rain. For those people that the other band, because I was going to say it could be Prince, but I wouldn't quite put him quite on that level. Mm-hmm. But you know, like the funk, you know, that kind of. For the vibe of like a Bruno Mars. There's some George Clinton in there, speaking of, you know, and like it's got, I don't know, like I feel like now it's so pastiche where the music like pulls from all the different kind of eras, but it doesn't necessarily sound, I don't know, could you identify like a 2000 song versus like a 2011 song versus like a, you know, a lot of the same instruments
unless it was like indie rock or alternative rock where it sort of had its sort of moment, you know.
Right.
Like I feel like the Strokes are a distinct sound from a distinct time.
Yeah, maybe.
But and when you're talking about top 40 or something, I feel like it's been, you know, the same and generally bad for
since the
90s. A couple of decades.
Well, I mean, what would you say would be the last distinct, I mean, grunge? Like, what was the last distinct genre that you would pinpoint to a specific year?
Right, huh. Well, I was starting to think, like, Pavement indie rock. But no, I feel like I don't know if that's necessarily as distinct or a genre as grunge would be.
But if you were to play, I guess an example would be, like, if you were to go up to a kid now, right, go up to some, you know, 18-year-old or something, and you were to play a Pavement song, and you were to say, what year would you guess this came out? They would have no freaking clue.
Right.
Like it could be anything from 19.
Big, it's like, yeah, huge range. Yeah, you're right. That is kind of weird. Yeah.
Like I was talking to this woman who was, I don't know, like early 20s or whatever. And she was saying, she was like, yeah, I just discovered this new band. And I was like, well, what is it? And she's like, it's called Joy Division. I'm like, Joy Division is not a new band. That band has been around for a really long time, but she'd never heard it.
Yeah, sure.
So it's like she thought she'd discovered like a new artist.
She's discovering this on like Spotify or something?
Yeah.
So just,
or on Pandora, just, like it
but
came
not,
on.
Not noticing, you know, any date or anything. Or yeah. Sort of, yeah.
But just like, I've never heard this band before, and oh, they've got all these albums and all this stuff. It's like, yeah, they were around forever, and they were in, like, they mix and match with other bands like New Order and shit.
There's also like really sad shit that happens, because I feel like I can draw a distinct line in kind of like sound from something like Oasis to Radiohead to Coldplay to Imagine Dragons. But in my opinion, it gets worse as it goes down. And then there's somebody who's like, what band is this? And I'm like, oh, that's Radiohead. And they're like, I don't know anything about it. And I'm like, well, what are you listening to? And they're like, I listen to a lot of Imagine Dragons. And I'm like, oh no, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
You're absolutely doing it wrong.
Oh. Well, but maybe that person.
That's depressing. Yeah. You've had that conversation?
Yeah. In my car with somebody, like Radiohead was what I was listening to and it came on. Oh. And that was the conversation. And then I was like, oh my God, I need to take you on a little bit of a Radiohead journey right now and like play a song from OK Computer, Kid A, In Rainbows, and just like do a little bit of a musical
journey. I want to go on a Radiohead journey right now.
Yeah.
But I do think, I mean, at some level that's lucky for that guy, because at least if he doesn't have good taste, then who cares? But if he does have good taste, he can go back in time and kind of be like, oh.
Right. Like, interesting. Go on that journey of like, why this became this way.
It's like when you hear a song that there's a really famous sample from, and you hear the original song, and you didn't know it was from that.
Yep.
You're like what's the I don't know if it's Marvin Gaye or who it is, but the song that Today Was a Good Day, you know, the rap song, right? That's based on like the, you know, that like, what I'm trying to remember what the actual original sample was.
I got you.
But I was in a yoga class, and the guy started playing it, and I was like, is he going to play that? Like, is he going to play that song? You know, where he talks about like using his AK
right.
stuff like that, you know?
But I thought like both of those songs are sort of inappropriate in a yoga class. No.
No, well,
Marvin Gaye at a yoga class seems strange to me, too. But I guess nowadays people have their playlist yoga classes. Yeah. It's different now.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes people sometimes people push it a little bit where you're like, I don't know that this song's a little weird. Near, I had one yoga instructor who I was fond of, and I went to classes for years and years, and I really actually do appreciate her as a human. But every once in a while, she would play like something really sexual, and every once in a while, because she would occasionally do partner stretches where you end up doing a partner stretch with like somebody that you don't know.
Nice.
And then like every once in a while you'd be doing a partner stretch. And one day I remember very, very precisely, we were doing a partner stretch. I was with this woman I never met before in my life, and sexual healing came on. And like, I'm sitting here like massaging this stranger, like all sweaty and like yoga clothes, like sexual. And I'm like, this is a little weird right now.
Anything could happen.
It's a little weird.
Yeah. I got you real quick. Ice Cube's It Was a Good Day. The sample is the Isley Brothers' Footsteps in the Dark.
Oh, okay.
Hey, good for you.
Found it. Thank you. And I also shrunk.
See you later, Sean.
See you later, guys.
We actually do have to take a break here for a second. Good. So that was weird timing. Well done.
Thank you.
We're going to take a little break. And, you know, I don't know, maybe we'll listen to some Isley Brothers in a little bit. But for right now, we're going to listen to a band called Deep Touch, which is friends of yours.
Good buddy of mine, Julian Kelly, in this band. And they're in L.A. playing shows a lot these days.
Yes.
I am not sure if this is the same band.
Oh, no. That would be...
I'm super confident about it.
If not, you can blame it on me because I'm the person that loaded it in.
Well, what did you do?
What'd you do? But we're going to take a little break and then we'll be right back.
Be right back with
Frank Rantz. And we are coming back in with a little Isley Brothers. This is the song.
You didn't let me know what you were doing, so I thought it was just one big long mistake.
No, you know. Yeah. See, but here's the sample, right?
Yeah. No, totally. This is.
Oh yeah, good call. Dun, yeah. Dun, dun.
Today was a good day.
Yeah. I just think of, what's it, Shout, right? For Isley Brothers.
Twist like and Shout?
Yeah, it's so hard for me to place this as them. Yeah.
They did, they did Twist and Shout. And they did, and also I think It's Your Thing.
Okay.
It's Your Thing.
Uh-huh.
Wait, is that right?
I don't know, but no, they have a couple other big hits. I just can't think of.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Don't they have a woman's name? Isn't there a woman's name hit from them? I want to say.
Yeah, every band has.
I think every band has. They have Love the One You're With. Yeah.
I can't tell you.
I feel like we're pushing the Buggles, we're pushing the Isley Brothers, we're covering
doing a lot here. We've got Bong Water.
Imagine Dragons.
Dude, what? Man, what was I? It was you know how sometimes like there's a band and you give them the benefit of the doubt because like you're like, your hits aren't that great, but then like you see them live and you're like, you're a jam band and like, oh my God, you make so much more sense live than you do. Imagine Dragons is even like, I was watching them play the halftime show and what was it? The last national championship.
That was disaster.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was really rough.
Wow.
So I did a talk show.
Benefit of the Doubt would be a great name for a band.
That is a good name. Yeah. I know. I did a talk show once where they were. This is before they were big and famous because I was on the same talk show. They were the musical guest or whatever. And I remember even then it was like, I forget what the song was because it was catchy and it was sort of stuck in my head, but I hated them.
Yeah.
And I hated them I shouldn't. Why am I being so mean to Imagine Dragons?
They don't care. They have so much fucking money. they are. If they're offended by our bashing.
I'm sorry. All their songs sound the same.
Yeah.
It started with Radioactive and then they made the song Radioactive like 12 more times.
Yeah. Do you know, it's funny because the Red Bull Music, which provided some of the bands for Bloodsucking Bastards, this was not an intentional segue.
Whoa.
Into our film that we made with Fran in the starring role.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta do that again.
I know, we're trying. Yeah. But they had Imagine Dragons on their label, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And they were trying to get like the rights to do and Imagine Dragons. I was like, no. which is probably good because they were
yeah.
Not like now we'd be like, there's an Imagine Dragons song on that soundtrack, but now it's like, you know.
Well, Fran, when you say we got to do that again sometime, do you mean we have to make Bloodsucking Bastards again?
Bloodsucking Bastards.
We should do it again.
Yeah. And if or the same one, like Michael Haneke remade Funny Games with a different cast.
Yeah.
Except for me, I'll stay.
You want to stay?
The three of us. Uh-huh. The three of us stay and then we recast everyone else and do it again.
We could redo it as Muppets.
Oh, yeah.
But kids, you ever seen that game or that meme or whatever? They're like, or it was like a Twitter thread, like, take any one movie, if you could choose any one movie, and replace the entire cast with Muppets, but keep one human, what movie would you keep and what human?
Question.
And I'd say Bloodsucking Bastards and Fran.
Keep Fran and everybody else Muppets?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
That would be pretty cool.
Someone actually asked you that? You've had that conversation?
It was a Twitter thread.
It's like
yeah. And the responses were pretty funny. Yeah, you know, sure. I don't even remember what mine was.
Like, I just off the top of my head, The Godfather with Brando and Muppets would be really funny.
That's
would
you,
really
so good. Yeah. You keep Brando in that?
I guess keep
Brando. I would maybe keep Fredo.
Keep
Fredo. And everyone else is a Muppet.
Yeah.
What about Weekend at Bernie's and you only keep Bernie?
That's good. Yeah, good call.
You could do that.
Really good call.
You could do that. What about Castaway? Oh, no, wait a minute. That's a bad one. And you only keep Tom Hanks. It's the same movie, dude.
It really doesn't change that film. Is that movie.
Hunt as a Muppet, though, is funny.
She would be a funny Muppet. You could do, yeah. I would do Aliens and keep Bill Paxton. That would be mine.
That is good.
So you, how have you been, man? I feel like we haven't even said. You got anything to...
Thanks for asking.
Thanks for asking.
I'm good. I know you, I mean, we talked about maybe plugging stuff and then I figured we'd just hang out. But I guess technically it ended last week, but Showtime has a really good little limited series called The Loudest Voice.
Okay. Yes.
In the room. Mm-hmm. The book is called The Loudest Voice in the Room, and some reason Showtime cut off the last couple words.
Huh.
So it's just The Loudest Voice.
Okay.
But it's about Roger Ailes and Fox News. It's really good. Proud to be a part of it. Yeah.
Who do you play?
I play this guy, real person, Gabe Sherman, who wrote the book Loudest Voice in the Room. He's a journalist. Now you'll see him on like MSNBC as a correspondent. He still writes for Vanity Fair, but back then he was New York Magazine, and he wrote this book. He started doing research on Fox and News Corp, and then realized that like you can't tell the story without you know, just it basically turned into this sort of biography of Roger Ailes.
Wow.
Because he was sort of crucial in the kind of building this thing. So it was cool. And he was a producer on the show, so I got to know him, which is very strange. I've never done that before.
Have you ever played a real person?
No.
A living real person?
Yeah, a living real person who was on set. You know, it was intense. It was cool.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done that. I just want to say that'd be weird to get notes just of like you're not being that person correctly.
We definitely have we have the whole similar features and all that, but it was creepy. You know, he's kind of got these like signature glasses he's always wearing on TV and stuff, and his little Twitter avatar. So I would see him looking at me on the monitor. And it was very strange.
That's pretty weird. Yeah.
But it was cool. But it was intimidating. It's also weird playing someone. When you feel like you're an inferior intellect, you know? Oh, you know shit. What I mean?
Yeah.
Because I just, like, if, you know, imagine if you were playing Einstein.
Right.
Still alive. You know?
And you're like, I don't get any of this shit.
I just sort of felt like, I don't know much about this world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I memorized my lines, though.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I had a little bit of that. So I did take it as seriously as possible. Obviously, reading his book and just, like, going through every article I could find of his, watching him on YouTube, stuff like that. But still, at the end of the day, I always kind of felt like, God.
But you know, Einstein could never get off book.
No.
So Einstein, you know, was terrible at that.
Einstein was a terrible actor.
Oh, so bad.
A garbage actor. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speaking of acting, so we, every week, we'll do some kind of game, some kind of segment with our guest.
Oh, yeah.
The one we're going to be doing tonight is going to be a version of one of our favorites. Things that I'm Things I learned while high. Sorry, that was a little. That was a little.
Wow.
I learned to turn that down. That's one thing I learned. But we. So this is in honor of your work, Fran. Because, you know, a lot of our listeners know you in one of your very iconic roles, an iconic stoner role,
yes,
in Cabin in the Woods. And so I just did a little bit of a deep dive into weed appearances in horror movies in general.
Yeah, cool.
To come up both, by the way, both revered classics and utter schlock.
Yeah.
Really all ends of the spectrum. Just do a little bit of a movie quiz for you.
Okay.
As a famous movie stoner character,
oh, good.
See how you do on the rest of this.
Yeah. Are you gonna read me lines or clips, or I'll just wait. I'll wait for it.
Yeah, you're and by the way, Sean hasn't heard this either, so
I don't know either.
If you want to make a guess, Sean,
I'll make it. Okay. Great.
There's no buzzers.
No buzzers. No. I'll just help you. I'll feed you answers.
Okay.
So to start out our Things I Learned While High horror movie weed crossover quiz.
Yeah.
In which of the following classic horror movies does the stoner survive? A, Halloween. B, Friday the 13th. C, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Or D, Nightmare on Elm Street.
I guess the Friday the 13th, we're talking about the first one?
Yes, yeah, these are the originals.
I'm gonna go with Nightmare on Elm Street. What were they again? No, it's definitely not Friday the 13th.
Halloween, Friday the 13th, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, I just can't.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
I'm gonna go with Nightmare on Elm Street.
Sean, do you have a vote?
A few people survived that. There's like a handful of kids.
Yeah,
and I want to say one of them is the stoner or that kind of character, but I could be wrong.
Oh God,
I feel like only the pretty boys died in Nightmare on Elm Street.
Elm Street is a good guess. No.
No, it is Halloween.
It's Halloween.
The movie that created one of really the first and most iconic Final Girl, which is babysitter Laurie Strode, played by Jamie Lee Curtis, opens with Laurie and her best friend hotboxing their car with a big fat joint.
Oh, I was going to say, all I was thinking was her, but she counts as a stoner.
They both get super high in the opening scene. Of course, her friend Annie goes on to get her throat slashed by Michael Myers.
But
Laurie survives despite not saying no to drugs.
Wow, cool. Okay. That feels a little bit of a trick question.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a trick question.
But by the way, one of the things I enjoyed, there was a whole segment of one of the things I looked at talking about stoners who survived. There's a big debate about whether your character counts.
Dude, that's what I was going to say. Do you consider yourself surviving or...
Because you survive the events of the movie, but then...
Right. Oh, that's great. There's a debate about
that. Yeah, dude, it's in the... Yeah.
I mean, yeah, no, it's great because I think I have the last line and everything, but I feel like it's... Unfortunately, I feel like you have to say no one survives.
Yeah. I think the component of but you survived the slasher events of the movie, all that part.
The fact that there's a conversation's fantastic.
Oh man, you may not stoners and love that movie to no end. There's a lot of stoner conversation.
I saw a clip of it recently, and I was a little. I always wanted to be over the top and kind of cartoonish and have this sort of goofy, shaggy kind of element in an otherwise looking seemingly natural world, you know. But now I kind of sometimes I look at it and cringe, being like, "Wow, I am really I am really big in that movie." I think it tones itself down, which is nice, and that was sort of what I was thinking. You know, have it become a little more grounded. But yeah, when I first pull up with that bong,
it's very broad.
It's very animated.
Yeah, but I think that's also why, like, when you come back later in the movie, spoiler alert, why it's such a good reveal.
Yeah,
is because you don't take that character seriously at the beginning.
Right.
So I think it works. Obviously, I love that movie. Mm-hmm. So number two. Which of the following is a real stoner horror movie based on a Brothers Grimm fairy tale? Is it Snow White and the Seven Toques? Stonerella?
Cool.
Hansel and Gretel Get Baked? Or Rumpel Smokes Weed?
Oh my God.
I I feel like, God, I mean, which one do you want to see? Even assuming they're all even real. I think it's Hansel.
Only one of them is real.
I think it's Hansel and Gretel Get Baked.
For some reason, I feel like Stonerella is a thing I've heard.
Stonerella is a
great
call.
I don't know why.
And then it was Snow White and the Seven Tokes.
Yes.
And Rumpelstiltskin.
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 Well, I'm going to give it to you on your first guess.
It was right. Yeah.
It was Hansel and Gretel Get Baked.
No, I was going to stick with that.
Yeah. Starring Molly Quinn, Michael Welch, Laura Flynn Boyle. This 2013 film
Laura
is summarized.
Boyle.
Yeah.
Cool.
On IMDb as a brother and sister battle a witch who lures teenagers into her suburban home with her special brand of marijuana, where she then proceeds to kill and eat them.
Wow, cool.
All right, I got to accelerate through here.
Okay,
there's not a lot left. Number three, in which 90s horror movie sequel did Jack Black cameo as a stoner who comes to a grisly demise? A, Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare. B, I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. C, Candyman, Farewell to the Flesh. Or D, Jason Goes to Hell.
Oof.
Oh, man.
I know. Good stuff.
Oh, man.
I'm going to go with, I know my Friday the 13th movies, and I don't think he's in those. I hope I'm not wrong. I'm going to go with Candyman. It sounds just really random.
It does sound really random. Like, yeah.
It is B, I Still Know What You Did Last Summer.
Oh.
Right after enjoying some primo ganja, Jack Black, who plays a Rasta pool boy with terrible dreadlocks, gets impaled with garden shears.
Wow.
Number three, which of the following is not a sequel to the movie Evil Bong? A, Evil Bong 2, King Bong. B, Evil Bong High Five. C, Evil Bong 3, The Wrath of Bong. Or D, Evil Bong 4, A New Toke.
Oh, wow. I mean, I hope High Five's a real title.
Yeah, High Five.
I hope that's a real movie.
That's really great.
I'm going to go with High Five. But that's assuming they made it that far, right? You said
that'd be the fifth movie, four and five. Yeah.
Four are all my choices.
Yep, yeah. That's correct.
Hopefully the franchise did that well. But I'm going to go with High Five. Evil Bong High Five is not a movie. Oh my God.
No.
Yes,
Evil
but that's
Bong
good news.
4.
We can feel good about it.
No, Evil Bong 5 was made.
Yes.
Evil Bong 4, A New Toke was fake. The fourth Evil Bong was titled, Evil Bong 420.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I didn't even know that existed. Yeah. But Amy Pathrath is in all those.
These are feature films.
Oh, yeah, she totally is in all of those.
Yeah, we know a person.
You know
oh, my God, yeah,
we do.
Totally.
So they're contemporary, they're relatively recent.
Huh. Yeah, no, because I found that out when we were at the the horror festival in Texas for Bloodsucking Bastards, and I was like walking by a table that had all Evil Bong, and then she was like on a cover. I was like,
so
what
funny.
The hell? You're an Evil Bong movie?
So last but not least, one of the all-time classic 80s horror films, speaking of going back to the 80s, and one which, by the way, scared the shit out of me when I saw it at a young age, was Poltergeist.
A movie that famously was thought to be cursed,
given how many of the cast members died after filming. Although not considered a stoner movie, there's a pot-smoking scene in the film. Which character or characters get stoned in Poltergeist before everything starts just going to shit? Was it A, the teenage daughter, Dana? B, the parents, Steve and Diane. C, the parapsychologists, Ryan and Marty. Or D, Tangina, the tiny old lady spiritual medium.
That lady's great, by the way.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, no, I can see it. I think it's the teenage daughter. It's named Dana. No, is it
Sean?
I feel like it's the parapsychologist before he watches he rips his face off. He's high as hell. No, you're both wrong. It's mom. It's the parents.
Steve and Diane. Played by Craig T. Nelson and Joe Beth Williams. Steve and Diane share a joint while discussing their children while hanging out in the bedroom. It's actually a very casual and somewhat surprising for the time portrayal of pot. Oh. Of course, their whole life goes to shit shortly thereafter, but that probably has more to do with the Indian burial ground that the subdivision was built on top of.
Yeah, sure. Wow.
Which probably, by the way, had to be the start of the whole Indian burial ground trope, right? I don't know if that was before Poltergeist or not, but...
What about Pet Sematary?
gosh. I feel like Poltergeist was... Yeah, predates Pet Sematary.
I don't know. We're gonna have to. Well, definitely the movie predates the movie. I don't know when you wrote that book.
Didn't the Indian Burial Ground start the Indian Burial Ground?
No, but I mean as
probably
a horror movie.
Indian burial.
Yes. No, yes, of course. As a thing, it was started. Unfortunately, I can't believe this. This went so quickly. We're out of time, Frank.
Next time.
Oh, you're going to have to beat Emma back to be our first ever trifecta.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah, we just started totally artificial and arbitrary race.
Yeah,
with the winner. With the winner just winning our affection.
Well, I want to come back for... high five.
Yeah.
Fran Kranz's high five.
Yeah. I think that sounds
or the 420 too.
Yeah, or 420.
What was the other title? The fourth bong high.
The third one was the Wrath of Bong.
Oh no, but
maybe?
The fake one, the four.
Oh, a new toke. I was making a Star Wars a New Hope joke.
God, we should have. I should have picked up.
Whoa! unfortunately, that is it for us. We are out of time. Fran, thank you so much for joining us.
I thought I had to hold my breath.
You're welcome back whenever you want to come back. And please remember, as legalization sweeps country, there are a lot of Americans still locked up for smoking, possessing marijuana. So don't just legalize it. Deschedule it. Support clemency. Get nonviolent drug offenders out of jail.
That is it for us and for Fran. Thank you for listening to
The
Way Highway.
Guys. Love you guys.
Thank you. Love
miss you.
You
guys.
Miss you.
Yeah.
Subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. If you like what you heard, tell everyone you know and follow us on Twitter at The Way Highway or Instagram at Way Highway.
You can also find Sean at Sean Cowie, me at Justin_Ware or JustinWareOfficial on Instagram. And Fran is on there. It's InstaFranKranz. Is that right?
Yeah. Still use it.
Yeah. Every once in a while when you've got something to promote.
Yeah.
But you can also see Fran on this Showtime thing and a million other things.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Check it out.
Sending a shout out to our composer Gregory Jenkins, our executive producers Nice Guy Days with Dr. God Productions, and most of all, thank you for listening.
And remember, if you want to ride high, always take the Way Highway.
Bye-bye.
Bye.